You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you here on Sports Daily. It is football season, officially, we can say, I think, as we've got college football games this weekend. We've got NFL preseason wrapping up. We've got high school football practices beginning this week. It's football season. It's officially here, and we're glad to be here with you. It's also baseball season for us because the Royals are keeping up and keeping relevant, and we're glad they are because they're keeping us entertained and on the edge of our seats. They get another win last night. We'll talk about it. It's all coming up today. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Happy Tuesday. Good to see you today. Got a lot to get to on the program today. I feel almost to a point to where I don't know, once we get into the regular season with both college football and the NFL, how I'm going to split time between watching football and watching Royals baseball with the potential push to the playoffs. I know we've wanted the Royals to be relevant, you know, during this gap, but it makes it tough. We had to go through it last year where it's like, what am I going to watch? Like, I've got both.
Yeah, you kind of just, you watch the Royals during the week and football on the weekends, I think, is
okay.
The split.
That's the way you get split
to the
it
post,
up.
And then you get to the postseason and you got to just watch both. It's a good problem to have. Let's hope we have it past September and into October. But we'll talk about it all. We'll get to that Royals win. Felix Johnson, our Chiefs insider, is going to join us later in this program as well, as the Chiefs sort of lay out the plan already for the final preseason game. So we'll have all that for you. We'll get you caught up on all the other news and notes from around the league. We'll start to look ahead a little more to these college football games this weekend. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. The just-announced Kansas Lager Fest. You can join WBC along with more than a dozen other breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. Something else I've been sort of tuning into, Tommy, is the Kingdom documentary series on ESPN. Are you watching that?
I haven't started it yet. It's on the list. We just wrapped up the latest season of Quarterback. So we started that before The Kingdom came out. So I want to get that finished. And, you know, I know like there are a lot of people that this might be you, to be honest with you, where they'll watch like five or six different shows at one time and an episode here. Like I kind of like to watch one all the way through before I start something else. And so I wanted to get through Quarterback before I started The Kingdom. And I haven't had a chance to yet. I hope I can do that soon.
Yeah, I kind of like to kick it old school TV, bounce around if I can. A lot of the time there's not two shows I'm trying to watch at one time, though. Sometimes it's just if it's just me, I'll kind of power through it. If it's my wife and I, we'll have to take a little longer to it. We'll watch like one every other night or something. I started this one. I forgot about it. It's good. It's good. It's really interesting, like from a production standpoint to me, their storytelling timelines and stuff. It's pretty unique. Actually, it took me a minute to like get the hang of it. It is a little different, you know, just like technically speaking. And I like it. It bounces around a little bit. It takes you back in time quite a bit. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah. And it's about that season last year. I commend the Chiefs for doing it. I commend the Chiefs for committing to it, win, lose, or draw. Obviously, we know the outcome, and now it's just the journey of how to get there. But I watched the second one, I think it was, last night. It was mostly about Andy Reid.
I heard somebody told me that I needed to at least watch that episode because there's a lot of like leadership lessons and things like that in that episode, which I couldn't tell if that was like a knock on me, like, hey, you probably got to watch that to be a better leader.
Watch this.
You might want to watch that particular one. Or if it was just like, hey, it's really good. You ought to check it out. I had a hard time figuring out what the message was behind that.
It's really good. Yeah. It digs in deep to some deep stuff. His son, Javon Belcher. But I think it's more about how he deals with all the different things that he's dealt with. And it is. I mean, there are good lessons in it. And you can... You know, you can pretty, we all know, like from a football standpoint, what makes Andy Reid so great. But it is pretty interesting to get a little bit deeper into, you know, the people around him explaining what it is. And that's probably some of what you're hearing there from somebody. It's pretty impressive. But the show itself is interesting. And it's going to, I can't imagine it won't continue to be very, very interesting. And they did a nice job with it. And again, I commend the Chiefs for doing it. That's a pretty big commitment to do that, knowing you might not win, right? Like, we know the end of that story. They fail and they come so close and can't get it done. And that's where we're going to end up with this documentary. And it's going to be fascinating to see it. But anywho, that's on, it's on ESPN.
Yeah. That's how I feel about the guys that are doing Quarterback, and especially Kirk Cousins. Like, he was in both seasons. And this last one, I mean, it follows him getting benched in favor of Michael Penix Jr. And, you know, him still being willing to be filmed and come into his home and follow him and how he goes from being a starter to running the scout team and standing on the sidelines. And like that, like that's tough for a player, I'm sure, to, you know, you don't have that in your mind when you go into it that might happen. That's what happened. And so I commend those guys for, when things are hard, wanting to continue to go through that process.
They get into a little of that with Alex Smith, speaking of, in the documentary. You know, they go back to that and that. It's all good stuff. Those kinds of things are great. And of course the crews and stuff putting them together are good. I made it halfway through Quarterback the first season when we kind of stopped having a Netflix subscription. So I would have a lot of catching up to do with that show. And it was good. It was really good. I liked it. Didn't they do a receiver one, too, in between or something?
I think so. I didn't watch it. You know, the first season of Quarterback, you know, they followed Mahomes. They followed Cousins. And they followed Marcus Mariota, which I thought that was maybe the most interesting one because, like, there was – then this would have been two seasons ago when he left his team. Like, he walked away. And basically was like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. And so, like, that was, you know, something that the camera crews filmed and followed, like, is he going to play in the NFL again? Because he was unhappy that he was benched, and then he basically just left the team. You know, so things like that, like, it gets into the good, the bad, and the ugly with all these guys.
Hey, Jeremy Avey is vying for a college golf scholarship, which is awarded to the state championship winner. But caring for his autistic brother, Ethan, while competing against a rival who will do anything for a win, forces him to reconsider his priorities, discover his brother's savant-like gifts. Now he has to choose between realizing his dreams or standing by his brother. The Short Game in theaters August 29th, rated PG, as we're talking, you know, as we're talking about some entertainment news, we thought we would we'd get that in there. Good luck, everybody, and go check out that movie. Go check out that movie. All right, we've got Felix Johnson coming up in the next hour. When we come back, we're going to get into the Royals, who win again, and it's getting there, Tommy. We got some movement in the standings here for the first time in a while. In a good way. And of course, they get the movement directly against the Rangers. But we'll dig into that game. Look out ahead at what's coming up. Royals fans, I know, are starting to kind of heat back up. See, this is funny. You sweep the White Sox. What do we see? You sweep the White Sox, and all of a sudden, you feel like the door's open again. But you got to beat these good teams, too. And they did last night against the Rangers. We'll get into that and much, much more at Sports Daily. You can get in touch with the programs over the air, 869-1240, on the video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. It's all here for you. We'll be right back on Sports Daily.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. We've got Royals baseball right here on KFH tonight. Tune in at 6:30 for the Royals hosting the Rangers on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Listen online at KFHradio.com or download the free Odyssey app and search for KFH. Glad to be here with you here on a Tuesday as the Royals get another win last night against the Rangers, 4-3. Pretty exciting fashion. They get out to a lead. They hang on. You had the bullpen give up a couple of runs. Really just one, I suppose, with Ersik Waka ended up being on the hook for two runs. 5 2/3, but overall, Tommy, a good performance. It was the Michael Garcia night in a lot of ways, and then Vinny Pasquantino hit another clutch home run. But this is, I mean, listen, you got to have all of these games, and they sit now, have gaining ground. They're up to 3.5 games back, so only gained a little bit. But the thing that happened is they gained ground now on everybody. Everybody essentially in that wild card is tied, so it's not just Seattle that they're chasing. So they gained ground on Cleveland. They gained ground on Seattle. They gained ground on Boston. I don't believe the Yankees played. So it was a really nice night for the chances to the postseason because they won a game. They're knocking the Rangers further back too. They're about to tonight. If the Rangers keep this up by the end of the series, they'll be out of this thing.
Yeah, it's a crucial series in that regard because the Royals have an opportunity to not only gain a little bit of ground, but like you mentioned, to also push the Rangers completely out of the wild card picture, or at least make it incredibly difficult for Texas to get back into this thing. So that's why getting this first win is so important. I also mentioned yesterday on the show that knowing that we've got Seth Lugo coming up and there are question marks about his performance as of late, getting this first win last night, so important for Kansas City to get the series off to a really good start, and they were able to do that.
And if we look at the way that they used the bullpen last night, there's no reason when Lugo's turn is in the rotation that they let him crash and burn again. I know they don't have a day off for a while. They have plenty of roster flexibility to pull up an arm for a minute if they needed to. This needs to be, to me, it needs to be the Lugo / Lynch game, right? If Lugo appears to be struggling the way he has in recent games, don't let him sit out there and give up six runs. They can't afford to just let games go that way before they get started. If he looks like he's going to be throwing meatballs again, and we're not 100% sure why that's happening to a guy that it hasn't happened to in his 2 years up until the last handful of starts, then you need to be ready to get him out of that game in the first or second inning. And then it just converts over and you let Lynch pitch a few innings and you take your chances. But you can't afford to just take one on the chin like that anymore. They can't do that.
I think it's important also from the game last night and recently, basically throughout this entire homestand, can we talk about the long ball for a second in Kauffman Stadium? Like, that's been such an Achilles heel for the Royals all season long. I mean, even after they've had a few really good home games and hitting home runs, they're still averaging less than one home run a game collectively. And it's actually pretty well below one when you just look at home games in 2025. They're averaging 0.71 home runs a game at home in 2025. And that's a sharp decline from 2024. They had been one of the worst teams. In fact, at one point this season, they were the worst team in Major League Baseball as far as home runs hit. They hit three last night. In their last three games, they're tied with Toronto for second in Major League Baseball. Just over their last three games with home runs hit, they're only behind the Athletics in the last three games. They've started to be able to turn it around with the power, and especially at home, that's extremely important. You mentioned Vinny Pasquantino. He had a laser off the bat, a two-run shot last night. Mikel Garcia had a solo shot. And how about Mike Yastrzemski? Another leadoff home run for him. That's been such a nice change in the lineup for Mac Cutrero, moving Yastrzemski to leadoff, moving Jonathan India down in the lineup. India has responded in a positive way, moving down into the lineup like sixth, where he's batting right now. So those things I think are coming around also, and it's nice to see that trend change a little bit where they're actually able to hit the ball out of the ballpark at Kauffman.
Everything's changed to me for the offense. It's a season. If they don't make it, it'll feel like a season of where everything just couldn't come together at the same time. Like, you know, we've seen the elite starting pitching. We've seen now the offense really wake up. Like, if they can just get it all together here for this home stretch, they really are going to have a good chance at this thing. There's just so little room for error that that's what makes it so improbable at this point, because you got to remember, if you're looking at the standings, they basically, against all the teams that matter, they don't have the tiebreaker in hand. So like, yeah, they're 3.5 behind the Yankees. They're actually 4.5 behind the Yankees. Like, they'll have to they'll have to clear them. They can't tie these teams. So you just, but honestly, like, and maybe this is the best thing for us to do too, as people watching the games, like, you cannot think about any of that at the moment. All they need to think about, not ahead of them, it's not anything else. It's this roster is really good. We're a really good team. We know we can win tons of games at once. We've done that this year, even when we were playing very well. So just do your thing here. I don't know if they're going to get healthy by the end of the year, but the offense has never looked better. So start there. Just start there. The offense has never looked better. Power your way through. If you're the offense, know that you can't leave opportunities out there. It feels like, Tommy, every game they lose, there's a comp. They left way too many opportunities out there and runners on base almost every single time. We sit there in those losses. Man, we had a couple on with nobody out and anything with that. Even when they do score 4 or 5 runs, you still can't waste those opportunities. So I don't know what their percentage chances are at this point.
It's about 18. They're at about 18%, according to ESPN.
That's much higher than it was a week ago.
It was. A week ago, it was like 3%. I mean, they've done what they've needed to do to at least get themselves back into, you know, a place where they feel like they've got a shot to make the playoffs. You know, they've won 17 of their last 26 games. They're 17-9 in their last 26. You know, going from several games under 500 to now they're 3 games over 500. And yeah, it's hard to not think about a couple of the missed opportunities where they could have been, you know, 6 games over 500 at this point, had they been able to turn around a couple of games in the last week and a half. But still, 3 games over 500. They've got the 4th best record in Major League Baseball since June 30th, basically since the calendar turned over to July. They've got one of the best records in Major League Baseball. I had a friend of mine on X reach out, listener of the show. His name's Jeff. And he asked me the question last night. He said, do you think they have the ability to go on a double-digit winning streak, 11, 12, maybe 15 games? He said, I think they do, but pitching is the obvious weakness that could prevent that. I think, sure. I mean, they've got the talent to do that sort of thing. They've done it. But I don't think they need to. I mean, if you go back to the conversation we had a week ago, if you break down their schedule, they don't have to sweep teams to get to that, what we consider maybe a magic number of 87 wins. They don't need to sweep any team to do that. They need to win series, but they don't need to. I mean, it would certainly help if they start sweeping teams, but they don't have to do that necessarily. They have to take 2 of 3 or 3 of 4. You can afford a split here and there. What you can't do is you can't lose series and you can't get swept. As long as the Royals don't do that, then I feel pretty good about their chances. And they're not getting swept. When was the last time the Royals got swept in a series? It's been a long time. And so as long as they avoid that part of it, they don't need to go on a long winning streak.
I agree with your friend Jeff. I think the starting pitching or the pitching is going to be the thing that prevents like a really long win streak, because they seem more prone for like Hugo, for example, what he's done lately, or like they just seem like for a long win streak. But that doesn't mean they can't win enough games. They've got plenty of pitching to win enough games. The good thing about their schedule, they're playing Texas now, who they're competing with directly on this deal. They still have four against Cleveland, who they're competing directly with on this deal, and they still have three against Seattle. So, you know, those series are the ones, like, if you're going to sweep, if you're going to win three of four, I know Seattle's only a three, those are the ones, because if you're down, let's say, 2.5 games to Seattle on September 16th, when you go into that series, you play them three times. If you just take two of three, you're gaining a game. That's it. That's so there, you know, if you're talking about sweeps, those, but it's also highly unlikely that you're going to sweep Seattle because they're really good. So let's not get there yet. Let's just keep winning two games to every one loss.
Yeah.
And let's see where that goes. Because the schedule is going to be tough. There are opportunities, but I do think when you play the White Sox, and when you play them again, even in Chicago, and when you play the Twins, who are actually playing better than people thought they would, like, those are the ones that, yeah, you probably do want to sweep, because you've got to have cushion somewhere. And that's, we're all excited, right? They get to play Detroit six times before the end of the season. They have to play Detroit six times before the end of the season, right? That's not always a good thing. Like, you like that, but you're trailing them by 8.5 games. You're not going 6-0 against Detroit. So is that a good thing? I'm not so sure it is. I think I might rather play six games against, I don't know, the Orioles or, you know, somebody that struggled, rather than, even though you're chasing them still, technically speaking, you have to play that team six times.
And yeah, really, I mean, I think a team like Detroit that you're chasing in the division, I mean,
you're not going to catch them.
You're not going to catch them. You're too far away in the division. So I think the baseline has to be don't lose the six game series. Like, go that's 3-3. Like, that's the baseline.
That's a really good team.
At the bare minimum, 3-3 is not, it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to harm you. Other than the fact that you are running out of games, you know, overall. And so, sure, like 4-2. At that point, you walk away from the six games against Detroit and you feel pretty good about that. But at the absolute bare minimum baseline, you just can't go under 500 in those six games.
There are more good teams on the schedule left now that we've crossed over that White Sox threshold. There are more good teams on the schedule than there are bad teams for the Royals. So that softer schedule that we came out of the All-Star break with, we're kind of through that. They still do have those games against the White Sox. They still do have a season ending series against the A's. I'm not sure what I think about Minnesota. I'm just glad they're not playing them in Minnesota. But really, other than that, like, all the teams that they'll play are in the mix to some degree. And so it's just not as the schedule's not soft anymore, basically.
It's not soft.
Three more beat.
Yeah, it's not soft, but it's not the most difficult in Major League Baseball either. This is according to the website Tankathon, where they keep track of the remaining strength of schedule for each team in Major League Baseball. The Royals they've got the 11th hardest strength of schedule down the stretch. And I think a lot of that, they were down near the bottom of Major League Baseball as far as the strength. But once you get through the White Sox, then your remaining strength of schedule starts to go up. And so the overall, as of today, the winning percentage of the teams that they have left is 509. And so that's, you know, it's over 500, but it's not the hardest. It's not the easiest. Their toughest opponents remaining, six against the Tigers, three against the Blue Jays, three against the Phillies, three against the Mariners, and four against the Guardians.
The good news in it is there are still so many teams in the mix. There are so many even ish teams in baseball this year. That is, you're chasing this wild card thing. A lot of these, they're going to have to play each other. There's too many teams that are alive. So, you know, it's again, it's not to the point where we need to schedule watch yet. Like, we don't need to scoreboard watch the rest of the league. It's really still is, and it's not cliche. It really still is just about the Royals being the best that the Royals can be. If they're the best they can be, if they play up to their potential for the next month and a half, they've got a really good shot to make this thing. We'll get to the point where we have to look and see what everybody else is doing. They will ultimately need one team at least to stumble. It'd be handy if more than one did, but we're not there yet, right? Right, yeah. Right now, it's just the Royals have to play the best version of Royals baseball and see how far that can take them.
So, I mean, let's break this down for a second. So the Royals have 19 games against like their toughest opponents left that I just lined out. And then they've got 18 games against the easiest opponents. That includes the White Sox, Athletics, Twins, Angels, and the remaining three against the Rangers. So if you kind of split it down the middle and you've got 19 against more difficult opponents, 18 against easier opponents, then I think having a predicted like final record in both of those categories, both of those buckets, I think that can help us get a path. And so, you know, if you're going, I don't know what, if you think you can, they can go 12-5 or 12-6, I guess it would be over their easiest opponents. And then obviously not that great against the toughest opponents. I kind of like breaking it down that way and being like, what's an expected
enough? I don't think, because if we're going to say split against the good ones, which I think is the fairest way to do it, they'll need to be better than 12-6 against the bad ones.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, that's totally doable. Like, you can be better than 12-6 against bad teams. So that's what I think to this, you know, do they need to get on a hot streak? It would help tremendously, but they just need to hang in there against the bad teams. I do think they need to beat the hell out of the bad teams, though. Like, you said it was 18 games.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be like it probably needs to be something.
So
awesome.
They're
like
going to need
15-3.
If it ends up, if they need to get, let's say 87 wins is that magic number. Again, we don't know, but that's kind of what we've targeted in. They need to go 23-14 in their final games, right? Final 37 games.
That means 5 losses against the bad teams if they split against the good teams.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be a 13-5 against those easier teams.
Yeah.
Now, they've got the Rangers series right now included in that easier quote unquote category. And
because
so
they're under 500.
Because they're under 500. And so, you know, if you look at that as now a 3-game set, I mean, you've got to go at minimum 2 of the next 3. Like, you can't split this series against the Rangers because then things get a lot more difficult for you. So if Seth Lugo, if we relate it back to this game tonight, if there's still something off with him and he doesn't turn in a good performance and the Royals lose, then the Royals' backs are back up against the wall for the games on Wednesday and Thursday. They've got to win both of them. If the Royals can get a win tonight with Lugo on the hill, it makes it a lot easier for them, and they only have to win one of the next 2.
And the Rangers are not a bad team. They're not playing well right now because their bullpen sucks. But the if you can win those games, if you don't let one slip away from Lugo, if you can do that, it means maybe that's one less you need to win against Detroit. So, like, for me, like, you need to beat these teams. Now, I don't actually include the Rangers in this, so that's interesting. But you've got the one game advantage now. Don't look back.
Yeah, I mean, right? if we put it into 2 buckets, if they can go 10-9 against the really good teams in that tougher category and 13-5 in the easier category, at that point, boom, the Royals are 87 wins. They're going to have a pretty good chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That, I mean, to me, the way that my brain works, that's the path. Like, that's the blueprint for playoff baseball for Kansas City.
We've got preseason action coming up Friday, and we get some indication from the Chiefs on how it is they'll be deploying their starters in that game. Thanks to those of you watching us on 12 News Plus Connected right now, by the way. Tommy, it sounds like the starters will play. So kind of what we thought would happen after it looks like Andy Reid just switched game 2 and game 3 from what he normally does instead of getting the, at least by my memory. And I try not to remember this stuff too much in the preseason. It's so funny. I am glad people are watching and locked into the preseason. I watched the first series of the second game. That's what I watched. And then I went back to watching baseball. Not because I don't, it's just like, it's so hard for me to like take enough away from it. I basically watched Josh Simmons play. I was talking to Brandon Zinner, who watches all of it as he needs to. He's kind of on the Chiefs beat all season long. I'm like, yeah, man, where was Jalen Royals? I guess he didn't play. He's like, he had a huge punt return. I'm like, oh, I didn't even see a huge punt return. I didn't know he did that. And then we were talking, he showed me some other stuff. We were talking about Kingsley Suamataia, who looked okay on the drive I watched, but then got dominated on a couple other snaps as he stayed in the game. Josh Simmons looked good, I thought, in the series that I watched. Now, this next game, I'll watch for as long as the starters are all collectively in there, Tommy. This is the one that I do for the Chiefs specifically. I don't really watch anybody else's preseason games. I, like most people, just kind of watch the highlights. I'll check the box scores. If there's something you need to go back and find, you can go back and find it. But for the Chiefs, I'll watch when the starters are playing, as much as I can this week, because that gives you the closest thing you can get. It's still not real. The defenses still aren't giving you, live bullets or anything like that. But I do like that. I don't know that you do. You might disagree with me. I like that Andy Reid gives his starters this game and a couple of opportunities to get those reps together, get out there, run through it a few times, and then get them out of there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one thing that we didn't talk about a whole lot on the show yesterday, coming out of the second preseason game, the injuries that the Chiefs suffered in that second preseason game, there were some fairly significant ones. We know that Felix Anudike Uzama is going to be on IR with a hamstring injury. Done for the year. That's a major, major blow. And not that he was a huge contributor, but yeah, I think
he was a cut.
He was a cut candidate, but I also think that he still had an opportunity to potentially play his way into being a contributor and paying off, at least to some extent, the draft pick that the Chiefs used on him. And I don't know what his future NFL prospects in general look like after this injury. That's one thing. Mike Edwards went down with an injury. Nazee Johnson did. Jack Cochran did. So from a depth perspective, really, especially in the secondary, we know that Christian Fulton hasn't played at all this preseason. He's been dealing with an injury the entire offseason. He's the new signee for the Chiefs in the secondary. You've got him, Johnson, Edwards, all now injured. I mean, those are major blows to the secondary.
It's and the secondary is kind of a question anyway, right outside of McDuffie. They lose Reed, and you've got I wouldn't say it's a concern. It's a little bit of a question. I think that's fair. The injuries are tough, but again, like I trust that Andy Reid thinks they need it. I trust that Patrick Mahomes thinks they need it. And if they need to go out there for two series, the thing is, like, to me, they do need it, because Mahomes needs reps with Simmons and God, what sure looks like it's going to be Suamataia at left guard.
Let me ask you a question, because I've seen people chatter about this on social media, and I haven't fully formed an opinion on this yet. Do you think the Chiefs ought to use a little bit of the cap room that they've got left and go and try to sign somebody to play left guard? There are a couple of guys that apparently have not been signed this offseason that are veterans that have been contributors in years past. Those two guys are Dalton Risner. Chiefs know him quite a bit from his time in Denver, and Shaq Mason. The Texans cut Shaq Mason this offseason. He's probably not the same guy he was when he played for the Patriots, but those are two veterans at left guard that are like free agents right now that the Chiefs could go and sign to at least provide more depth at left guard.
I did not know Dalton Risner was still a free agent, former K-State legend,
yeah.
Dalton Risner. Yeah, I mean, I would be for it, for sure, with him. I don't know. Here's what I can't figure out. Here's what's driving me nuts. Do they really want Suamataia to be the left guard? Like, Moore's got to be a better option. What happened to Wanye Morris? I assume Juwan Taylor will be back for the start of the season, which I think means Morse probably slides over there. I'm not sure that it is I don't think it's in the same stratosphere of need as left tackle was for them last year, let's say.
I think they are desperately trying to make that investment work. I think that's kind of why what I feel like they're doing.
Time to do it. Right. Yeah. Now is the time to do it. I think in their perfect world, they will have Simmons on the left. They will have Taylor on the right. They will have Moore at left guard, oddly. Suamataye will become the backup guard, and Wanya Morris will become the backup tackle. I think that's what they want to happen. That's a little thin. The question really does become, if you need to get reps out of Kingsley Suamataye, can he give you reps? I don't know that he's going to be the starter at left guard, but that's just the way they're talking, and that's what we're seeing in the preseason. When the bullets fly in week one, I don't think he'll be the starter. But if you need him to play, can he get out there and give you anything?
I mean, the major glaring
Andy Reid talked about yesterday, he's looked good in the run game, and yeah. I'm like, who cares?
The major glaring problem with Suamataye is that he cannot pass block to save his life. Like he's getting, yeah. It's not even just like beat. Struggling. He's getting blown up every time that there's, you know, a pass play that's called. And so if I'm a defensive coordinator, as soon as even if he's the backup for the Chiefs, as soon as I see Kingsley Suamataye in there at left guard, I'm going to call something to exploit that. I'm going to try to make that the area where we get to Patrick Mahomes. And again, we can say it all day long, and it's the truth that left guard is not important as left tackle, but it's still important, right? And so all defenses have to do is scheme around Josh Simmons on the left edge and try to find a way to get in between the tackles to right. Suamataye and blow him up. That's what they're doing in the preseason. It's working. And so, yeah, sure, he can block the run. That's fine. But the Chiefs have proven time and again, they're not a run first team. And so that's great if you've got a guy that can run block, but that's not an area of your offense that you lean on. That's not going to be your bread and butter. And so I have a hard time with them wanting to continue to try to force this and make this work, because it's shown now in multiple preseason games that it's not working. And it didn't work last year at tackle. It's not working right now at left guard. You've got to try to do something different.
I think they will. Again, I think Moore ends up the starter at left guard, and then, you know, Taylor's back. It looks like Hollywood Brown's also going to be back. Certainly good news. He was back at practice yesterday. They're going to take it slow with him, as they should. But I think if he's back at practice now, we're a long way away from, what is that, September 5th? He should be fine. So that's certainly good news for the Royals. I think all these injuries, and they're very valid. I think if they can make it through this next one, they've had a lot of nicks. They've had a lot of scary moments. I think they've avoided the big, big one, which some teams haven't by this point. By the way, Dalton Reisner, who is an interesting name, looks like he's going to sign with the Bengals from everything I'm seeing on him this morning. I think they're in good shape. I think this has been a successful preseason. We've got one more to play. Find the closest wood, knock on it, do all those things that they make it out of here. I am very interested to see Simmons and hopefully maybe Taylor. I was just looking through Andy Reid's comments. I don't think we've gotten an update on Juwan Taylor in a long time. So I don't know what's going on with him. We'll ask Felix Johnson. Maybe he knows. But maybe this is the game where they can run out the line. They think they're going to run out. You'll have Patrick Mahomes there. We get a couple series out of the starters. Be fine if it's not Isaiah Pacheco anymore. And then you just, here we go. And then it'll be time to go. And they'll have 2 weeks off before the start of the season. But yeah, the offensive line is still the thing we're all watching. We're all maybe have a little PTSD from last year, but I think rightfully so. That's what we're paying attention to. I don't think it's going to be Suamataye starting at left guard in week one of the regular season. It's just like, that can't be the plan. That can't be the plan. Like, we continue to see him get beat. You can't, Mahomes is no spring chicken anymore. Like, you can't have a quarterback, we'll call it, in the middle of his career, constantly under fire the way he was a season ago. Find somebody that can play that position.
And if you have a liability at left guard, how much more pressure and expectations does that put on the shoulders of Josh Simmons as the rookie? But it puts a lot more on his shoulders, and it makes his job that much more important. It already is the most important position on the offensive line, but it makes it that much more important if you don't have a viable piece at left guard. I mean, imagine the security blanket that Josh Simmons would have at left tackle if Joe Tooney was still on the team at left guard. Like, just imagine the you know, he'd be able to have an all-pro veteran next to him on the line that can help him along in basically any situation that comes up. There's still going to be pressure on him in that situation, but things, you know, the weight of the world can get off his shoulders a little bit because he's got an all-pro next to him. That's not the case for Josh Simmons. He's got Kingsley Suamataia right now next to him at left guard. That puts an immense amount of pressure on the shoulders of the rookie. And while he may be phenomenal and while he may end up being a cornerstone piece on that offensive line for years to come, and that's phenomenal, if you don't have somebody next to you that you can count on and rely on, it's going to make your job that much more difficult.
There's no question. Again, it's going to be more may be a better right tackle than Juwan Taylor. I think there's a decent chance that that's true. Maybe there was a thought that Taylor wasn't going to be the starter at right tackle at one point. I don't think they can afford to not just, I mean, the question becomes, would you rather have Juwan Taylor at right tackle or Kingsley at left guard? I mean,
I'd rather have Juwan at right tackle. I don't love Juwan Taylor, but I'd rather have Juwan Taylor at right tackle.
Well, and Juwan Taylor's, look, he's over-penalized, right? He's not just some world beater, but
he's overpaid.
I'd much rather deal with a holding penalty than a Patrick Mahomes sack or a false start penalty versus a Patrick Mahomes sack. You know what I mean? Like, just it's. We'll find. I'm very curious. I'm the most curious about that more than anything else on Friday is who do they put on the line to start? How does that look for them? More than anything else that they do is that. And if it's going to be Kingsley Suamate, you got 3 weeks, big fella. You've got to figure out a way to not be on your butt on pass rushes. We'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Felix Johnson will join us to talk a little more Chiefs, other football headlines as we make our way through. A lot of good stuff coming for you in another hour. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily on this Tuesday. Tommy Caster, Jacob Albrock, Max Power producing the program on this Tuesday. You can join the show on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. You can also leave us your voice comments. All you have to do for that is listen to the show on the free Odyssey app. Click the microphone button. Leave us a message right there. We can play that back on the air. Also, on top of that, you can leave us your video comments. We're live streaming on YouTube, on X, on Facebook, on the 12 News Connected app as well. Lots of different ways to get in touch with the program. Here in this hour on the program, we will get into more football talk with our NFL and Chiefs insider Felix Johnson. That will be in our very next segment. We'll also revisit the Royals, and we'll get into game number two of their series tonight against the Texas Rangers. That's all What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with the just-announced Kansas Lagerfest. Join WBC along with over a dozen more breweries for samples and celebration of the crisp, clean brews known as lagers. Go to www.wichitabrew.com to get your tickets now. That might be something I have to go to, Jacob, because I'm a big lager guy.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time for sure. I'm a lager fan myself. Lagers and pilsners are my favorites.
Okay.
Lighter, see-through. I know myself. I don't need to be drinking, you know, diesel fuel.
A loaf of bread.
Right.
Yeah.
I like those on occasion, but not, you know, not when I want to have a handful of beers. Hey, you want to win while we're telling you about that, feeling a little generous, how about some golf? How about some free golf simulator with Swing 365? You can get a week for free on us by texting the keyword swing to 20357 right now. That's swing 20357. You get a week of access to a great private simulator. It is fantastic. All to yourself. You can watch some games. You can do whatever you want while you hit some balls, BYOB, bring your own food, whatever you want. Swing 20357. Good luck, everybody.
I've got myself a tea time there later today, actually.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's going to be like 97 degrees outside, and I wanted to, you know, swing the clubs, and I didn't want to go outside and play. So I've got myself an hour and a half at Swing 365.
Good luck to you. Do you play as well on a simulator as you do in real life?
No, I don't think I do, but that's okay. I mean, it's a different environment entirely. And so I'm not there to try to, you know, post a score. I'm just there to relax and get some swings in.
Yeah, me too. It's enjoyable. It's a good time. We appreciate it. There's a lot of NFL stuff that'll be fun to get to. Do you see the Commanders are now trading or wanting to trade or maybe going to trade Brian Robinson Jr.?
I saw that.
Man, I'm telling you, I think they're the team most poised to come back down to earth. They got the McLaurin situation happening. I don't know. I love Jaden Daniels. As a Cowboys fan, I'm not going to actively like root for the Commanders, but I just have a bad feeling about them this year. It just seems something seems off with the whole thing. And I don't think they're going to be bad. I don't know if they're going to be another 12 win team again this year. You got to keep your rookie with all the weapons. And they did. They improved his offensive line and did all those things. But this McLaurin thing still isn't solved. I don't know what's going to give there. He apparently wants $33 million a year. And he's, what is he, 30 years old, 29, 30 years old? I don't know that they're going to give him that.
I still feel good about them. I mean, this stuff I know is still kind of hanging over their heads. But they've got a really solid coach and Dan Quinn. They've got, they've got playmakers on both sides of the football, and then Jaden Daniels. I don't see him having that sophomore slump like C.J. Stroud did. I know that you can draw the comparisons. I don't believe that's going to happen with Jaden Daniels. I'm still pretty high on them overall. I don't think they're going to trade Brian Robinson Jr., and I think they'll get the Terry McLaurin situation figured out. So I don't know. I feel pretty good about them overall. And I think the big takeaway from the game last night, did you see the Bengals defense and how bad they were? I mean, they were freaking awful last night. They were so bad.
I didn't. I saw that they scored a bunch of points. I didn't watch their first team defense, no.
It was awful. There was a lot of chatter on social media that the Bengals ought to be getting the Trey Hendrickson deal done right away. Because of how bad the defense was. I remember that. I think you can draw parallels between this situation with the Bengals and Hendrickson and what the Chiefs had going on with Chris Jones a couple of years ago. You could tell there was a clear deficiency at defense and the defensive line, you know, specifically with the absence of Chris Jones on the field. You could tell that it was glaring last night for the Bengals not having Hendrickson on the field.
It's, you know, Chris Jones is more impactful on every play than a guy like Hendrickson. I think the Bengals are... The Bengals are the outlier. Like all the conversations we're having about these edge rushers, like TJ Watt and his whole, like the Steelers aren't going to win the Super Bowl, right? Miles Garrett, the Browns aren't going to win the Super Bowl. Micah Parsons is a little closer to a good team that has a shot, but still don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. Don't think they could. The Bengals are kind of this outlier. The Bengals, I think we all feel like could absolutely win a Super Bowl with a respectable defense. They didn't have one last year. Hendrickson's the best player on a bad defense by far. I do think sometimes his numbers get a little bit inflated because their offense is so good and because other teams throw the ball around on their defense. But you feel like they have to. I want to know, but like as we were just looking up Dalton Risner, like why is Dalton Risner a candidate for the Bengals? Because then it gets back into that, well, if they have a need to protect Burrow, who over his career gets sacked a lot, then to me, that still prioritizes over Trey Hendrickson. And I know Felix Johnson, we don't need to get in Micah Parsons with him again, and maybe you are more with it. Like, to me, when you've got, like, you have to do everything in this league you can for your quarterback first, and then you do the ancillary stuff. And for a guy like Burrow, who has been significantly injured a number of times in his career, if they're trying to bring in offensive linemen off the street, then I think they have higher priorities, no matter how bad their defense is, than spending $45 million on Trey Hendrickson.
Well, clearly,
but it is what it is.
Clearly, the strategy is going to be similar to what it was a year ago if they go that route, and that is just try to score as many points as you possibly can and try to protect Joe Burrow at all costs to do it. And if we give up 40 points a game, as long as we're scoring 41, we feel pretty good about that. The problem with that strategy, though, is that that's exactly what they did a year ago, and they missed the playoffs.
Yep.
So,
and the other problem for them is they notoriously start slow.
Horrible.
If they didn't do that, then it wouldn't have mattered. Like last year, they have been the worst starting team in football over the last 3 or 4 years, I believe. I saw some numbers on that because it always feels that way. Quite frankly, because I always lose a lot of money on them early in the season betting because you're like, how the hell did the Bengals lose that game? And then they'll get white hot to the end of the year. Like clockwork, this happens. The Bengals changed defensive coordinators. They replaced their longtime guy, Lou Anarumo. Now it's Al Golden. I do think when you have those types of quarterbacks, it is more important to make sure they're in a good position. So I get it. Now, I don't know. I don't look at their salary cap as, you know, closely and specifically as we look to the Chiefs or whatever. But if they have any holes in their line or anything else, like, you've got to prioritize that. Burrow's been hurt a lot in his career, and he's absolutely one. To me, he's at least the fourth or fifth best quarterback in football. He might be the second. Like, I think Joe Burrow's fantastic. So you got it. They've done that with their receivers. You've got to build around him. You got it. You can get improvement through a different defensive coordinator. Like, you can do those things. Maybe they can afford Hendrickson and they're just being stingy, as they notoriously are. I don't study them enough on their cap, but I don't think it's as obvious as people would like it to be with these edge rushers to say, oh, you got to pay that guy because he's really good. I agree that they're really good. I don't agree that that position should command that salary when a team can neutralize to some degree until the game flow switches. Like, you can go the other way. You can roll your quarterback out the other direction. Like, you can do some things to neutralize a $45 million player. You can't really do anything to neutralize Chris Jones. He's coming up the middle at you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's as obvious as people want to make it out to be with these edge rushers. I also think replacement value has some value. The Chiefs have had great defense. When was the last time the Chiefs had an elite pass rusher? Chris Jones, an elite edge rusher. Justin Houston?
Justin Houston. Yeah, that's probably the most recent guy.
How good were those defenses?
They were not very good.
Yeah. I don't think it's as important as the group thinks it is to have an elite edge rusher on a defense. I think there are other ways to be good on defense. I think that it can be game planned against. And I'm not saying I don't highly value those players. I do. I just don't know that they're worth some of the money that they're getting when you're looking at the grand scheme of things. I think if you have a great quarterback, an offensive line is far more important than an elite edge rusher. But, they're commanding the dollars. I get, like, what are you supposed to do if you're Micah Parsons or Trey Hendrickson? You want to get paid? I get that, too. I'm not sure I'd do it if I were these teams. We'll come back. We'll get Felix Johnson in to talk about maybe Felix Anudike-Uzomah and all the Chiefs news notes and things happening there. That's next on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, Other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, and we do welcome in our Chiefs Insider, Felix Johnson. Felix, we're getting closer and closer. We're almost there. One more preseason game. It is sort of the dress rehearsal, it sounds like. Andy Reid did kind of flip-flop games two and game three this year. So as we go into that finale, where we will see the closest thing to regular season football that we've seen, what is the number one thing you were trying to see Friday out of that game?
I think that's what's very interesting. I mean, Andy Reid always has probably the most interesting preseason for any head coach, because he still does it mostly the old-fashioned way, but he's still using this third preseason game and not necessarily the fourth one to figure out what his team is going to look like heading into and obviously being that the fourth one doesn't exist anymore, but he's using this fourth game as – or excuse me, this third game as like, all right, we're ramping up for the actual season to begin. And obviously that's what you should do instead of not playing anybody for the entirety of the preseason, because that's how guys get hurt in the early season. At least that's how my philosophy would go. And so I think I'm just looking for some type of consistency, especially in the early part of the season where Last year, they didn't have Hollywood Brown to start the season, and then they didn't. Then Rashee Rice goes down in the first month of the season. Now he's going to be there for about the first month of the season again, but do want to see some type of consistency going into the season. But the defense didn't look great. But again, we're playing backups and against the Seattle Seahawks and Sam Darnold, who is a legend, apparently.
Well, the big question and the conversation continues to be, what will the Chiefs do at left guard? The Kingsley Suamataia experiment continues to not work. Andy Reid talked about how he's okay at run blocking, he saw some good things in run blocking, but I mean, there were multiple situations in that second preseason game where he just looks to be a liability in pass coverage. What do you think the Chiefs will ultimately do, not only in this next preseason game, but getting into the start of the regular season?
It is probably the biggest question mark. And it is kind of a champagne problem. Like, who's your left guard? And then previously it was an all pro, and now it's a question mark. And for a lot of teams, it is just generally a question mark or a period at the end of the sentence, because it's whomever their left guard is. And so, like, I think that the Kansas City Chiefs are in this position of saying, like, oh, we had one of, if not the best left guard in football for however many years Joe Tooney was employed by us. But at the same time, they're still looking for their Josh Simmons at that position. But that doesn't exist because it's the left guard position. And so you're going to have to kind of roll with who you roll with. And it might end up having to be Kingsley Suamataia because he's the guy that's right there, unless it's a Jalen Moore or whatever the case may be. And I think that would – at this point, if there's this many questions surrounding what Kingsley Suamataia is going to look like at any position on the field, you probably shouldn't play him.
I agree with that, which is why I think more at left guard makes the most sense. I assume Juwan Taylor will be back and fine and starting. I think it's interesting we haven't heard much about Wanye Morris. That kind of as an option, especially at left guard, because if that was an option, he'd be playing there. That's what kind of makes me think Morris is going to be your swing tackle. Moore, who they envisioned as a tackle just out of necessity, may end up. But he played some guard in camp earlier in the camp. We haven't heard about it in the last couple of weeks, but maybe it's just they're waiting on Juwan Taylor. I don't know, but you can't put that pressure on Simmons. You can't take that risk with Mahomes. If Suamataia is just getting beat constantly, like, there has to be a better option than that.
Right, yeah, and like, I think that's where some of the problem lies, is that there's a rookie on the other side of him with health concerns or whatever the case may be. If you had Joe Tooney and even just a veteran player just playing left guard, you'd feel more comfortable with that, or with a veteran left tackle like a Donovan Smith over the last couple of years. You feel more comfortable with putting Kingsley Suamataia at left guard because there's less liability on that side of the football. But now you have a rookie and essentially another rookie who in Kingsley who hasn't played and hasn't played well, if he's going to start there. But in the case of Wanye Morris, I think that, again, the Chiefs keep drafting tackles year after year, and he was kind of the first run of these guys. And so it's kind of been proven, like, well, they drafted Wanye Morris in the third round. And then the next year, they're like, all right, he still wasn't good enough after he got some playing time in his rookie year, and said, all right, he still wasn't good enough. Got to get Kingsley. Kingsley's not good enough. Got to go get Josh Simmons. And so it is kind of how the dominoes fall. It's one of those things that you kind of look at as a trend, particularly with one NFL team. But at the same time, it is kind of telling with how they feel about some of their depth.
The other main takeaway, Felix, from the second preseason game, the defensive injuries. We're seeing players kind of, you know, start to fall like flies a little bit, and especially as depth is concerned. The biggest one, Felix Anudike Uzomah on IR, out for the year, hamstring injury for him. But then there's also some blows to the depth in the secondary, like Nazi Johnson and Mike Edwards. Obviously, Christian Fulton's been dealing with an injury and hasn't played so far in training camp or in the preseason. What's your biggest concern defensively from an injury perspective?
I think it is Christian Fulton, particularly because he is that extra veteran piece, because we've talked about this secondary. A lot of these guys are going to get paid by either the Chiefs or otherwise, or whatever the case may be, after this season, because they're all drafted about 3 and 4 and 5 years ago, because that's just how their contracts worked out. And I think Christian Fulton was, and it is this, and he'll obviously play this year probably upwards of 10 games. I'm assuming he'll get his ankle rolled or whatever the case may be throughout the middle of the season. But at the same time, you do want to see him come out and start strong, especially coming off or having this injury in the in training camp. And you have this group of a secondary that is as cohesive as it can be. And we've seen as good as it has been over the last however many years. But at the same time, when you do integrate another piece, it has the chance to really throw some things off. And we've seen crazy things happen. And I don't want to bring up the Bob Sutton days, but we can if we really want to. And so like that, and I'm not saying that's ever going to happen because Steve Spagnuolo is just a better football coach in general. And so I think that it is going to be interesting to see particularly what Christian Fulton does early on in the season and if that injury does affect him.
Felix Johnson joining us. You can find Felix's work at the Talk Ball podcast at Arrowhead Addict. Felix, we make our way through it. So in this final game, Hollywood Brown is back. It kind of feels like they're going to be mostly full strength other than this injury to Felix and Udike Uzama going through if they survive it. Jalen Royals is dealing with some tendonitis in the knee, but Rashee Rice is going to play at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. Opportunity for Mahomes and company to cook here early in the year, I would think. He's going to have pretty close to his full cast of characters, it looks like, to start the year.
Yeah, and I really hope so. But when you have in Brazil, you have to go up against a divisional rival with Jesse Minner and how good the Chargers defense was last year. And hopefully for their cases, they've only gotten better. You have a Super Bowl rematch. You got, and you're just the Kansas City Chiefs, so you have a target on your backs in general. And I'm not saying that the offense shouldn't be better for all the reasons that we've talked about all summer long about why they should be better, whether it be that guys are just back and Rashee Rice is back for the first 4 to 6 weeks or whatever until the hearing on September 30th. And so I think that the offense is, because the pieces are back, it is particularly exciting from the outside. But I even think internally they're excited because of, and it's another incredibly obvious reason, because of who their quarterback is and the mindset he has going into this season of, and I know it is, it's kind of annoying because we talk about things like this every day, but these are things that these athletes focus on every time. I mean, you watch The Last Dance, Michael Jordan had these little chips on his shoulder. Patrick Mahomes was not the number one ranked quarterback in Madden this year. He's a little pissed off about that. He wasn't the number one ranked quarterback in the NFL top 100. He's a little ticked off about that. So he's going to find a way to get this season popping one way or another because of the last couple of seasons not going the way they are, the Super Bowl loss, and those things. And so it's just a bunch of these compounding factors that I think we've seen it from a bunch of great athletes before, that he's just going to have one of those chips on his shoulders. And Patrick Mahomes is one of those athletes that we've seen that it's just one of the greatest of all time when he turns the pressure onto himself.
Let's talk about some other major storylines around the league, Felix. I think we've exhausted the Micah Parsons conversation over the last few weeks, but in that same realm, Trey Hendrickson is still without a deal. And it sounds like there are rumors going around that the Bengals are shopping him and there might be some teams interested in giving back quite a bit in return to Cincinnati to get him traded. He wasn't on the field last night in their preseason game. The Bengals defense looks awfully bad. What do you think Cincinnati will do with Hendrickson?
Well, that's the thing. Even with Hendrickson last year and all of his productivity, they were still pretty bad on defense last year. Like, he led the league in sacks last year, and he's been a really good player for these last couple of years and important to Cincinnati for even longer. Their defense was still bad with him. So I think that it almost doesn't matter what they decide to do with him, because there's a lot of different things that they're going to have to figure out with their defense in general, whether or not Trey Hendrickson is on their roster. And it just behooves them to have him on his roster, similar to my idea about Micah Parsons. I don't mean to bring it back up, but at the same time, you have one of the best players in the league, or at least one of the highest productivity players in the league at this position. It only behooves you to have him on your roster. But even then, you were still probably, in Cincinnati's case, he was on the field most of the time, so you were still pretty bad with him. What do you do? I don't know. And you can't ask Joe Burrow to win a boat race or win a race every time, but that's what he had to do this past season, and they still almost made the playoffs. And their defense, the only thing that they can do is make their defense better, and the only thing that they've done is make their defense worse by not letting Trey Hendrickson, or not signing Trey Hendrickson as soon as they could.
They're kind of like the Cowboys, too, though. They've changed coordinators. on that side of the ball. I think they hope for improvement there. Who knows if it'll come? I just, like, we were looking at options at left guard. Dalton Reisner, former K-State, you know, great, came up. Tommy brought him up. Apparently he's close to signing a deal with the Bengals. And so for me, like, man, if there's any offensive line issues in Cincinnati, and we know Joe Burrow's injury history, and we, like, that's where I'm spending my money too. Okay. I think I don't know. Like, you're on the line. I just, edge rushers, there is, to me, there's a correlation in the highest paid guys playing for teams that aren't real outside of Bosa. Maybe. Like, I just don't think I agree that particular position is as important as the market is saying it is right now. And this happens in the NFL. We saw running backs not get paid at all for a long time. Now everybody's paying their running backs, right? Mm-hmm. This is such a league of ebbs and flows, but like, Chris Jones is the unicorn. He's coming up the middle. You can't game plan around Chris Jones. If I'm playing the Bengals, I can game plan to some degree around Trey Hendrickson. I'm going to roll my quarterback out the other way every time I throw the ball, right? I just don't know that that's a position worth $45 million a year.
Well, I think that's true with a guy like Trey Hendrickson, sure. It's not true with a guy like Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons or TJ Watt, where there's only a handful of those guys in general in the NFL. Like, you can probably include a healthy Derwin James, a Buda Baker, Bobby Wagner in his prime. I mean, even last year, Bobby Wagner was fantastic. So there's only a handful of guys in the NFL that you would have to game. Chris Jones is obviously one of those guys that you would have to game plan against in general, regardless of position. And those are those guys. And I think we get kind of hung up on the fact that some of these guys are edge rushers. And, like, yeah, Trey Hendrickson is an edge rusher, highly productive, but he isn't as effective as a Micah Parsons is, as a Myles Garrett is. And you can tell just by watching those games be played. And, like, again, I think that those situations last year, the Cowboys, their defense wasn't good, large part because Micah Parsons was out for 10 games throughout the middle of the season, and their quarterback situation wasn't great. TJ Watt, the Pittsburgh Steelers, their quarterback situation isn't great. I think a lot of these situations come down to who their quarterback is, and obviously you have to pay other guys on the team, and if you have the best at any other position, you got to pay those guys, and in general that does help you out the most. And so, like, again, I think it comes down to Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Dallas, all of these other teams figuring out who their quarterback is, and it'll make everything else make a little bit more sense. And I mean, Dallas, I think Dak is their guy for now, at least. I think they have more of – there's different teams that have more of a Philadelphia Eagles setup where it's like, let's try and pay everybody, and that's kind of where the NFL is now. Let's just try and pay everybody and then see where we're at and pay it off in escrow in 4.5 years or whatever the case may be. But at the same time, that's what you kind of have to do because – that's what the Eagles are doing. That's what the winning team is doing.
Well, look, the Chiefs pay their guys too, but they don't have an edge rusher making 45. They have Jones. It's not that all those players you just mentioned are all great players, all of them. They're all some of the best players in the league. It's a math game. Does paying that position make the most sense? I don't think we're going to see the great teams doing it. I just don't. I think we're going to see them paying offensive linemen. I think we're going to see them paying quarterbacks. Now all of a sudden they're paying receivers, which used to be a faux pas.
Well, that's what the best teams have always done, with the exception of the New England Patriots. You pay your offense, your quarterback primarily, and the offensive line, and then one star defensively, whomever that is, and then it might be a Jalen Ramsey or a Chris Jones or a one player that it makes your plays on defense. But at the same time, you kind of have to pay those guys because all those guys that I mentioned, those are some of the best, not even non-quarterbacks in the league.
Like,
you
throw in Justin
Jefferson and Jamar Chase and Saquon Barkley, though that's still the list of the best players in the NFL aside from Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen.
Yep, I agree. Felix, what do you guys have cooking for us here that we can find this week?
You know, my good friend Cody Alexander and co-host on the Let's Talk Ball podcast is one of the strangest people of all time because he'll wake me up out of a cold sleep or I'll be at the gym and he'll be like, let's talk about something crazy, the Bucs defense. And 45 minutes later, we'll have a full podcast on it. So this week, Let's Talk Ball Extra, talking about the Bucks defense. It's a lot better than it even sounds, because Cody's a genius, and I try to follow along as best I can. But that'll be coming out this Friday, along with our NFC South preview episode coming out tomorrow.
Ooh, we previewed the NFC South yesterday. We've got to preview another division today. We're going to actually do that next.
All right.
It won't be the NFC South. It won't be the NFC South. It'll be the AFC South up next on Sports Daily. Felix, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
We'll talk to Felix again next week. It'll be the bye week, basically, of the preseason now, next week when we talk. Yeah, we've got AFC South talk next. I think that one's probably my... It's not the least interesting, because it is a little open, but it's probably my least favorite, I think.
Why?
Perhaps to talk about this year. I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's got plenty of intrigue and plenty of interest. I got to be nice to the division, I suppose, but it's just because none of these teams are contenders. And maybe Tampa's not either, we talked about yesterday. None of these teams are contenders. They all have interesting things, though. It's kind of a crapshoot in the division. It will be interesting to see where we both stand in this division, because there is a lot of turnover. All right, Tommy, AFC South, here we go. Right now, Vegas has the Texans at 9.5 wins. They've got the Colts at 7.5 wins, the Jags at 7.5 wins, and the Titans at 5.5 wins. Those all feel fair-ish to me. Nothing just stands out urgently. Last year, of course, the Titans were the worst team in football, 3-14. The Jags were perhaps the most disappointing team in football at 4-13. I think we saw progress with the Colts despite their quarterback issues. The Texans, despite taking a major step back, I think we could all agree, still won 10 games. So that takes us into this year. Who's winning this division this year, in your opinion?
I think it's a pretty wide open division. I mean, maybe outside of the Titans. I think the Titans will be better than 3-14 this year, and they're probably out of the divisional hunt at this point, maybe a year or two away from being able to challenge in that potentially. But other than that, the other three teams, I think, are relatively wide open. The Texans have come back down to earth. You know, they're not, I don't think, the NFL darlings anymore like they were in CJ Stroud's rookie season. Last year was more of a disappointment for the Texans because they could have taken a big step forward and they really didn't. You mentioned it in the last segment that you don't think anybody from the division is a real contender. I agree with that. I don't think any of these teams, even the division winner, is going to be a true contender to win a championship this year. I'm still probably going to lean Texans. However, in my mind, the wild card would be the Colts. And it's not really. It's not because I love Anthony Richardson. It's because they now have a security blanket in Daniel Jones in case Anthony Richardson isn't effective or gets injured again. They still have Jonathan Taylor, probably lost a little bit of a step from the last couple of seasons, but they've got Michael Pittman, who's been a really good receiver over the years. I like Shane Steichen, head coach there. I think he's a good offensive play caller. So they'd be my dark horse in the division, but I'm still probably going to slightly lean to the Texans.
I think there's a world where Jacksonville can win the division. I think there's a world where Indianapolis can win the division, and the Texans. I think the Texans are rightfully the odds-on favorite for that. They need to figure out how they're going to run the ball, which is going to be a problem if they can't. They are leaning real heavily on what they hope will be a very talented wide receiver room. You know, they brought in Christian Kirk, and then they drafted the two Iowa State rookies highly, and then Nico Collins is a stud. I think they feel like they're going to be able to sling it this year. Trading away Laremy Tunsil was a little curious. I love their head coach. So I think they're rightfully the odds-on favorite. I think the most interesting team is Jacksonville. I think there's not much. I don't think the Colts are going to be bad. I don't know how good they're going to be, but I don't think there's much of a chance they'll be bad. Jacksonville's all over the map. Jacksonville won 4 games last year. Where did that come from? They won 8-9 the 2 years prior. So, like, to me, they're the real, like, what in the world, like, the range of possibilities for Jacksonville is as high as any team in football. Brian Thomas was a star. They went and they got Travis Hunter. They went all in for Travis Hunter. Trevor Lawrence, he's never been great, but he's been better than he was last year, certainly. So I think they're the widest range of outcomes for sure. I could easily see them getting back to 8 or 9 wins this year. I don't think that's crazy at all, because at the end of the day, I think they have the second best quarterback in the division. We'll see what Cam Ward does as a rookie, and he could easily take that mantle. But as of this point, I think if you look at it, you would say they have the second best quarterback in the division, right? I mean, is anybody scared of Daniel Jones at this point? I don't think so. And then Tennessee, look, I'm with you. I think Tennessee will get better. Don't sleep on a huge improvement. We saw it with Houston, right? When they drafted CJ Stroud.
I mean, Tennessee
improvement.
Tennessee
has Jaden Daniels last year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
it's possible.
Tennessee has one of the easiest strengths of schedules in the league this coming season, you know, based on, you know, assumptions on what we think their opponents are going to do this year. But it's one of the easiest, at least on paper, strengths of schedule. So, I mean, I certainly think that we'll see an improvement from 4-13 a season ago to get better this upcoming season. I don't think they're contenders. I don't think they're even a contender to win the division.
Right. They just don't have a lot of talent.
Right. They're probably not even a contender to get into a wild card spot. You know, I think they're a ways away from that. Although Cam Ward could be a great surprise. And
we've seen it
happen before.
How many years in a row have we seen rookie quarterbacks come in and be great?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
It feels like every year
you're right.
One of these guys comes out and lights the world on fire.
Because the Jags are all over the place, I mean, I'm going to completely stay away from them because you have no idea. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has been around for a minute now, but with the new head coach, we don't know what Liam Cohen's going to do at head coach. We don't know the way the talent is going to be able to gel. I'm going to stay completely away from Jacksonville this season. I think for me, again, with the Colts, as a dark horse pick to win the division, I don't know if I'm going to pick them yet. I think I'll probably still go Houston at this point. But I think that by adding Daniel Jones, all that really does is raise the floor for the Colts. Because if something happens with Anthony Richardson, if he can't go or he's ineffective or whatever the case might be, at least you would think there's not a substantial drop off to another quarterback. Like Daniel Jones is never going to be phenomenal, but at least he can be serviceable at quarterback. And so we've seen it happen multiple times where Richardson's been hurt and or ineffective for that matter, and they really have nowhere else to go at quarterback. They brought in a safety net. They brought in a security blanket at quarterback that should raise their floor to where they're not probably going to be a bad team.
Yeah, and they didn't get anything out of quarterback last year anyway and won 8 games. And Daniel Jones has taken a team to the playoffs and all those things. They're going to be built around the run. I think they have a respectable enough defense. I think they're the safe pick to finish second. I think Jacksonville's just curious to me. Look at what Cohen did with Baker Mayfield and that Buccaneers offense. They have collected a lot of talent, I think, in Jacksonville. We'll see. But it is a division to me, again, it's not as interesting because none of these teams are Super Bowl contender. I think if you squint hard enough, the Texans are probably the closest to a Super Bowl contender if everything were to go right, because you do like their defense. And CJ Stroud just a couple of years ago showed us he could do it. They have brought in a ton for him to work with now in the pass game, not in the run game. They got to figure out how to run the ball. Joe Mixon looks like he's maybe not going to play. I mean, I don't know what's going on there. But if you can do worse than Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, and a couple of highly drafted rookies, both of whom I actually kind of like, the two Iowa State receivers. So I think you can squint hard enough and find them as the closest thing to a contender. And that's not necessarily fair to them because there aren't a lot of teams that actually are contenders over the Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens across the rest of the AFC. Maybe you still put the Bengals there. But yeah, it's a tough division.
By the way, keep an eye on DJ Giddens for the Colts. Because if Jonathan Taylor gets injured at any point, he's a year older now, and you know, if you end up having some diminishing returns from him, Giddens could have a fairly significant role in that offense as the primary backup potentially to Taylor. And he could be a guy that the Colts lean on, especially considering that it's not like they have, you know, an MVP caliber quarterback on that roster.
Yeah, it's good. You just sent me something, Tommy, a bit of breaking news here as we'll turn the corner on the AFC South. I don't think there's any problem with that. K-State basketball adds another international player, a Romanian center who was a good prep player. He's 23 years old with 2 years of eligibility. This K-State roster, how are they going to communicate in the locker room?
I don't know. You've got like guys that are from all over the world that are playing for Jerome Tang. Yeah, his name is, I believe, Doran Buca is his name. He's a 7'1" center out of Romania in this year's class. Like, he'll join the team this year with 2 years of eligibility remaining. I don't know much about him other than, I mean, the fact that he's 7'1" is fairly significant.
They had a need for a guy with some size, but man, they have made a clear priority to go international this summer. It'll be like Gonzaga out there watching K-State basketball, but it's going to be an interesting mix. I didn't know they were still shopping around like that for players, but I guess they get one. And again, now remember in the NBA where they had that stretch of, this would have probably been the late 90s, early 2000s, maybe, where it was like international dudes were at the top of the draft every year. We're kind of getting back to that, honestly. And it's like, how do you get excited about the draft? Like, I don't know anything about these players. When we were having a conversation of Darko Milicic over LeBron, how are we, and I feel that way now, like this K-State roster. I'm like, I want to be excited, but
I've
literally never heard of any of these people.
Who's the best Romanian basketball player of all time? Can you think of his name from Romania?
Man, you're asking me Western European.
I'm gonna put you on the spot.
Basketball history.
Who's the best? Generally considered the best Romanian basketball player of all time.
What era did they play in? You're gonna have to give me a hint.
We were kids.
Peja Stojakovic?
No. I don't think he was Romanian.
I don't know where he came. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I'm going to stereotype all of those countries together.
You remember? You remember George Murison?
Oh yeah.
He's generally considered the best Romanian player of all time. He was what, like 7'8", 7'7"?
7'7", something like that. Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember. I remember George Murison. I remember all those tall guys. I thought that was the funniest thing when I was a kid, seeing those guys out there. No offense to anybody with, you know, ties to that part of the world, but I can't keep those countries straight, especially when it comes to which, you know, athletes come out of the former Soviet Union. Was Romania? Romania wasn't in the Soviet Union.
I don't think. But I always remember him.
He's in that.
Wasn't he in that? He was in that movie with Billy Crystal. That's where I remember him. Not only did he, you know, play, and he was like 7'8" or whatever, but he was in a movie too.
Yeah, he was. What was that? That was a good movie. All right. Was Romania in the Soviet Union? Yes or no? Tommy says,
No,
that's correct. Yeah. They were not. That was, what are we doing? What am I doing right now? Why am I looking at
this? You never know what you're going to get on this show. We could talk sports.
Right.
We could talk, you know, international relations and the former USSR. We could talk about all of it here on Sports Daily.
We're talking about that part of the world where these basketball players keep coming from and not knowing anything about them. And there, a lot of them are coming over to the state. I love this, by the way. I think it's far more interesting, and I'm much happier that a lot of these guys are not going straight to the NBA, and some of them still are. Obviously, we've had a major international flavor of the draft the last couple of years, but the more these guys that come play college basketball, the better it is for college basketball, and the more we'll learn about them as players as they get ready to go into the NBA. This is better for us. K-State adds a 7'1 Romanian center today to the roster. All right, that'll do it for us on a Tuesday edition of Sports Daily. Special visit from K-State, Wyatt Thompson, the voice of the Wildcats. He's going to hop in. We'll start his visit. He will, I believe, be checking in right before he takes off from Ireland, for Ireland, to get ready for that game this weekend. Looking forward to that conversation. We will get the ins and outs of the K-State roster with Wyatt Thompson tomorrow. We've also got Trey Eslada, our KU insider, stopping by. Royals baseball tonight, 6:30. We'll preview another NFL division tomorrow. Tommy, we're there. It is that time of crazy time of year.
We're locked and loaded, getting ready to get right into it.
Can't wait to do it. Can't wait to do it with all of you. For Max, for Tommy, I'm Jake. See you then.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.